Contract Form Basics. Introduction. Learning Objectives. After this section, you will be able to bullet, know the makeup and purpose of the Texas Real Estate Broker Lawyer Committee. Bullet, understand how forms are reviewed by the Texas Real Estate Broker Lawyer Committee. Bullet, learn the difference between mandatory and voluntary TREC contract forms, and to avoid the unauthorized practice of law, under TREC Rule 537.11. Bullet, identify which contract forms are used in different transaction types. The Broker Lawyer Committee and TREC contract forms. What is the Broker Lawyer Committee? The Texas Real Estate Broker Lawyer Committee, BLC, is established by law under Chapter 1101 of the Texas Occupations Code. The BLC consists of 6 attorney members who are appointed by the State Bar of Texas, 6 members appointed by TREC, and 1 public member appointed by the Governor. Members serve 6-year appointments, except for the public member who serves a 2-year term. The Texas Legislature has charged this committee with drafting and revising the TREC contract forms that are capable of being standardized to expedite real estate transactions and minimize controversy. That means creating forms consumers can trust and license holders can use, ensuring consistency across all transactions. It also means that the TREC contract forms contain language resulting from any legislative changes that require language updates. How are BLC members selected? Select each heading to learn more about the selection process for BLC members. Broker members, licensed. Brokers can apply to serve on the committee when new seats become available. A selection committee made up of commissioners reviews each application, which usually also requires a resume and cover letter. The selection committee looks for broker members who understand the responsibilities of the BLC, the role of TREC contract forms in the industry, and how often the applicant reviews or uses the TREC contract forms on a day-to-day basis. The role of the broker members is to provide industry insight and practical feedback on current practices. Bullet, attorney member. The State Bar of Texas appoints attorneys. It considers well-versed in the practice of real estate law and contract drafting. These attorneys come from different backgrounds and often provide a unique perspective, which can include farm and ranch transactional experience or even real estate litigation. Public member. The Texas Governor appoints a public member who represents the public interest and provides a different perspective on the contract, forms and consumer protection than the other 2 member types who are actively engaged in real estate transactions. The BLC's purpose and mission. The BLC meets at least quarterly to review the TREC contract forms and discuss any changes the group is considering making. The BLC also initiates smaller subcommittees composed of a few brokers and lawyers to tackle specific industry issues, such as the Farm and Ranch Working Group or Disclosures Working Group. These subcommittees hold their own meetings to draft contract language changes as needed and then presents their suggestions to the entire BLC. The BLC meetings often take many hours, during which they meticulously review possible language changes with broker members, providing a real-world broker perspective, and the attorneys homing in on the legal implications of any changes. Benefits of the BLC and TREC drafted contracts. There are several benefits that come from the BLC's inclusion in the drafting process for TREC contracts. Accessible language. The BLC's process ensures TREC contracts are drafted with consumer-friendly terminology that balance the interests of both parties of a real estate transaction. Bullet recommendations and rulemaking. TREC contract forms are tied to TREC rules, so any changes made to the TREC contract forms undergo the rulemaking process to allow for public comment. The BLC recommends changes and the Commission votes whether to propose those changes and initiate the rulemaking process. Public comment submitted in response to proposed contract form changes is accepted and reviewed by the full committee in an open meeting during the rulemaking process. Avoid the unauthorized practice of law. License holders are prohibited from practicing law. That's where the BLC steps in, drafting forms in such a way that they can be used by license holders to facilitate real estate transactions without wading into the waters of practicing law. Get to know your red lines. Whenever there are proposed changes to contracts, TREC will issue red line versions of the forms to show what is being removed or added. Red line versions can be found on the TREC website. License holder requirements related to TREC contract forms. Use of contract forms. TREC rule 537.11 addresses license holder use of TREC contract forms and the unauthorized practice of law. License holders must be familiar with the requirements of this rule as it impacts their daily practice and outlines their restrictions. Required use of TREC contract forms and exceptions. TREC Rule 537.11 A provides that a license holder negotiating the sale, exchange, option, or lease of any interest in real property shall only use the TREC contract forms approved for mandatory use by the Commission. The rule also provides a series of exceptions, which are listed in the rule. Some examples of those exceptions include the following. 1. The license holder is functioning only as a principal and not as an agent. 2. Transactions where the US government requires a different form. 3. Transactions where a contract form has been prepared by the property owner or prepared by an attorney and required by a property owner. 4. Transactions for which no contract form has been approved for mandatory use by the Commission and the license holder uses a form prepared by an attorney, licensed by this state or a trade association in consultation with an attorney licensed by this state that contains certain details listed in the rule. 5. Forms prepared by the BLC and approved by the Commission for voluntary use by license holders. License holders should consult TREC Rule 537.11 to determine whether an exception exists for a specific real estate transaction. Mandatory versus voluntary TREC contract forms. TREC rules indicate whether a TREC contract form is mandatory use or voluntary use. License holders can use this as a reference point should they have a question as to whether they are required to use the form. The Commission further clarified these terms by providing a definition for both in TREC, Rules 537.15 and 6. Bullet. The definition for mandatory use provides that unless an exception applies under TREC rule, Section 537.11A, a license holder must use the form. Bullet. As the phrase suggests, voluntary use means the license holder may, but is not required to, use the form. Examples of mandatory versus voluntary contract use. Here's an example of two rules with mandatras and voluntary use. TREC Rule 537.22, TREC Standard Contract, Form Number 11-9, Addendum for Backup Contract. The Texas Real Estate Commission, the Commission, adopts by reference Standard Contract Form, TREC Number 11-9, approved by the Commission in 2025. For mandatory use as an addendum to be attached to promulgated forms of contracts, which are second or backup contracts. TREC Rule 537.64, TREC Standard Contract, Form Number 57-0, Non-Realty Items Addendum, the Texas Real Estate Commission, the Commission, adopts by reference standard contract form TREC number 57-0, approved by the Commission in 2011 for voluntary use, when the parties need to convey items of personal property not already listed in paragraph 2, property of the contracts. Filling in blanks, adding and striking language, and the unauthorized practice of law. TREC Rule 537.11. Select each tab to learn more about how TREC Rule 537.11 affects license holders. Consult the rule for all examples mentioned here. Facilitating real estate transactions. TREC Rule 537.11 directly links the TREC contract forms to the BLC's purpose of creating standardized forms. TREC Rule 537.11 specifically states it is not the unauthorized practice of law for a license holder to add informational items to a TREC contract, form, or if specifically instructed in writing by a principal, to add language to or strike language from a TREC contract form. There are certain requirements listed in the rule for how these strike-throughs and additions must be made. The unauthorized practice of law, TREC Rule 537.11 specifically states a license holder may not engage in the practice of law. It then goes on to list specific examples of what constitutes the unauthorized practice of law for license holders when using TREC contract, forms or other forms authorized by TREC Rule 537.11. Examples include prohibitions against bullet, directly or indirectly giving legal advice. Bullet, giving advice or opinions as to the legal effect of any contract, forms or instruments which may affect the title to real estate. Or bullet, drafting or recommending language to be included in a contract. Form defining or affecting the rights or remedies of the principles of a real estate transaction. Why TREC forms keep evolving. In the legal world, there is no such thing as a static contract. Contracts are living documents in a perpetual state of change. TREC forms are often revised because of legislative changes. It is the responsibility of the BLC to regularly review contract forms and revise them as necessary. The good news is that the BLC drafts contract forms that generally work in many transactions. Contract forms. Question and answer. Select each item to learn more information related to TREC contract forms. I sent in suggested changes to the Broker Lawyer Committee that would address an issue we are seeing in my coastal city. Why did they refer to it as a 5% issue and not make the change? The 5% rule is a guideline the committee generally follows. This means committee members discuss whether a change to a TREC contract form addresses an issue affecting a high percentage of transactions, think 95%, or a small percentage, think 5%. In this example, the license holder's idea might be a great one, but if it is specific to an issue related to the coast, it doesn't meet the threshold for changing forms affecting license holders across the state. Does the Broker Lawyer Committee really need to keep changing the contracts? Changes in real estate brokerage, practice, and market demands can prompt revisions. However, the committee is mindful that any changes made must not be based solely on a hot market or vice versa. BLC recommended changes are typically released all at once, pending commission approval, on an approximately 2-year schedule. However, legislative and case law changes happen on their own schedule, which is why it might feel like the TREC contract forms are always changing. Since we are talking about the contracts, does this course meet the 3 hours of contracts? CE requirement to renew my license? No, it does not. This section is intended to be an overview of how the TREC contract forms, which license holders and the public interact with daily, are drafted and revised. TREC Rule 535.92 requires every license holder to complete 3 hours of real estate contracts. Coursework to renew a license. That requirement is intended to provide license holders with a deeper dive on the TREC contract forms, including any changes to the forms that may happen during the renewal period. All license holders are required to be competent in TREC contract forms. This means brokers must ensure their sponsored sales agents are competent, and sales agents invest time in learning TREC contract forms. The rules surrounding use of the forms and avoiding the unauthorized practice of law. Seller's disclosure, fact or fiction. All legally required, seller's disclosures are found in the TREC Seller's Disclosure Notice. Fiction. The TREC Seller's Disclosure Notice contains the property-related disclosures sellers must make under Texas Property Code. Section 5.008. However, there are also legally required seller disclosures within the TREC contract forms, including addenda. Other legally required disclosures. Here are some examples of legally required disclosures that are not found in the TREC Seller's Disclosure Notice. Select each numbered item shown in the image to learn more about required seller disclosures. 1. Addendum for sellers, disclosure of information on lead-based paint and lead-based paint hazards as required by federal law. Federal law requires the disclosure of certain information related to lead paint pursuant to the Residential Lead-Based Paint Hazard Reduction Act of 1992, 42 U.S.C. Section 4852D. Although there is a section on the TREC Seller's Disclosure Notice as to whether the seller is aware of lead paint, the notice that satisfies federal law is found in the TREC Addendum for seller's disclosure of information on lead-based paint and lead-based paint hazards as required by federal law. 2. Addendum, containing notice of obligation to pay improvement district assessment. This notice was created in response to legislation passed in 2021, amending the Texas Property Code Section 5.014 to include required seller's disclosure language regarding property located in a public improvement district. 3. Paragraph 6 of the TREC, 1-4 Family Residential Contract, Resale. This paragraph contains several seller's disclosures that are not found on the TREC Seller's Disclosure Notice, but that are required by law. For example, the language associated with the notice about water fluctuation levels required by Texas Property Code. Section 5.019 is found in paragraph 6E10, while the disclosure required by Texas Property Code, section 5.205, related to transfer fees is found in paragraph 6E8. 4. Takeaways. The TREC contract forms contain many seller disclosures, but not all are found in the TREC Seller's Disclosure Notice. License holders' familiarity with the TREC contract forms and these disclosures ultimately benefits the consumer and enables the license holder to practice in a more competent manner. From the case files, don't forget the conditions. Here's what happened. It's another rebate rumble. The sales agent in this case said yes to his buyer getting some money back, but the lender said no. Here's what happened. Bullet, a buyer executed a contract. After being assured by his agent, he would receive a credit towards closing costs. Bullet, the rebate was not included in the contract documents. Bullet, the lender later informed the buyer's broker that the rebate could only be applied towards closing costs, but the seller had already paid those costs. Bullet. The lender also did not permit the buyer to accept the rebate outside the transaction. So, the buyer did not receive the money as agreed upon with his agent and broker. Offering rebates. Keep in mind, when offering a rebate to a buyer, a license holder must disclose a rebate is subject to lender approval, and a lender may not allow a rebate in the transaction and prohibit the buyer from being paid outside the transaction. Penalties and brokers. Your written policies and procedures must ensure that your sponsored sales agents are competent to conduct their authorized activities, including the way rebates must be offered and administered to achieve fair notice to the buyer. As a result of the sales agent's actions, the following penalties were levied. 1. The sales agent's license was put on probated suspension for 1 year. 2. The sales agent was ordered to pay $1,000. 3. The sales agent was ordered to take 30 hours of a law of agency course from the case files, flooding, where? First things first. In short, it is a violation of the Texas Occupations Code to misrepresent a known significant defect or to fail to disclose a known defect to a potential buyer. Both happened here in this case. Here's what happened. Bullet. A seller did not disclose previous property flooding in the seller's disclosure notice. Bullet. When the seller's broker first listed the property on the MLS, the broker did type, had about inch of water downstairs with Harvey, in the agent's remarks section. Bullet. However, flooding information was not disclosed when the broker relisted the property 5 months later. Bullet. The parties closed on the property. After move-in, buyers discovered significant flooring issues because of the previous flood. Penalties. As a result of the broker's actions, the following penalties were levied. 1. The broker was reprimanded and ordered to pay $2,500. 2. The broker was ordered to take 30 hours of a real estate law course. From the case files, promises. The situation. He simply didn't put his money where his mouth and writing is. The sales agent in this case fulfilled a sale, but left a promised rebate dead in the water. The agent stated in writing that he would refund his buyer 3% of the 5% sales commission if the buyer made the house purchase. Well, the buyer did buy, but the agent's agreement wasn't put into action. Despite the agent's sponsoring broker approving the rebate and including it on a disbursement authorization form submitted to the title company. What went wrong? 1. The rebate information was not reflected on the HUD 1 settlement statement. 2. The agent failed to contact the title company to correct the error. 3. The broker failed to supervise their agent and ensure the buyer's rebate was included in the settlement statement. The end result. The title company issued a check to the broker for the full 5% commission, and as of the closing of this case, the buyer has not been paid what was promised and is pursuing a civil cause of action. The penalties. As a result of the agent and broker's actions, the following penalties were levied. 1. The broker was ordered to pay $2,000. 2. The agent's license was put under a 2-year probated suspension. 3. The agent was ordered to pay $2,000 and take 30 hours of a law of agency course. Takeaways for sales agents and brokers. From this situation, license holders should keep the following things in mind. Policies and procedures are important. Brokers of sponsored sales agents must maintain policies and procedures that ensure they are advised of the scope of their authorized activities and that they are competent to conduct them. Rebate information in the final HUD settlement statement. Complete information regarding a rebate promised to a buyer must be referenced in the final HUD settlement, so all involved with the contract, including brokers, lenders, title companies, or governmental agencies, are aware of it and the terms under which it may be received. Document any money received or transferred to a third party. Address the topic of trust money. Ensure you have written policies and procedures addressing trust money. Having clear expectations and regular training sessions. Have regular trainings for your sponsored sales agents about your policies and procedures and set clear expectations. From the case files, a costly waste of time. Never commingle funds. The sales agent in this case racked up quite the enforcement bill. She kept the $56,800 her clients gave her in a personal business account. This money was for the purchase of a property. Unbeknownst to her clients, she submitted a contract on their behalf under a different buyer's name. She later terminated the contract without informing her clients. After discovering the property was relisted, the clients demanded a refund from the agent. Their money was returned. Penalties. 1. The agent's license was put under a 4-year probated suspension. 2. She was also ordered to pay $3,000 and take 30 hours of a real estate finance course. From the case files, don't let this switcheroo happen to you. Always check information in contracts and addenda. Protecting your client starts with precision on paper. In this case, a sales agent representing a buyer drafted a purchase contract with the option fee and earnest money amounts accidentally flipped. Instead of the intended $500 option fee and $3,750 earnest money, the contract showed $3,750 as the option fee and $500 as earnest money. Both parties signed the contract with the error in place. The result. The lender later flagged the mistake, and while the agent attempted to correct it with an amendment, the seller refused. The buyer terminated the contract and asked for the $3,750 back as earnest money, but the seller only offered $500 per the written terms. It wasn't until 6 months later, and after the buyer hired an attorney, that the seller finally released the $3,750. The agent has since acknowledged her duty to protect her client's interests and to use greater care when preparing contracts. Trek issued a $500 penalty and formal reprimand, underscoring the importance of being meticulous when drafting or reviewing contract terms.